Wednesday night study on the scriptures. At least kind of where I got to, we missed through it last week, so not much of that. But when you look at the major, what we call the major and the minor prophets, almost all, as these books start, it starts with the phrase, "The word of the Lord came to so-and-so," or "The word of the Lord came in a vision." A vision simply means either by a dream, that God spoke to him through a dream, a revelation, or an oracle. When you look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah." And verse 2 says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." In other words, the Lord has spoken through the prophet Isaiah. So we understand the meaning there. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it talks about the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. Again, you look at all the prophets of how they talks about the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah and Jotham. And in Joel chapter 1 and verse 1, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. So we understand that the word came, and they spoke that which the Lord told them to speak concerning Israel, his people. And so we understand that. But when you look at the New Testament, when you turn to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56, the word there that is used is scripture. It talks about that this was all done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It talks about the word came to the prophets. But Matthew says the scriptures are the prophets. In other words, that which they received and spoke, they wrote. And so you can see the difference, if you will, in the words. That they wrote the words, it became scripture. Again, in the Bible, scriptures are referred to as scriptures and not the word of God, meaning that which God spoke. When you look at John chapter 5 and verse 37 through 40, we looked at this verse before. Christ here speaking, he says, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe." Then as you said, you do not have the word abiding in you, which I spoke. He says, "You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." Can you back up to John chapter 3 and verse 33? It says there, "He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent, that is Christ, speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given him all things to his hand. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him." So he talks about that God, the Father, sent the Son to speak his words. And that's what Christ did. And they became recorded for us. They became written down for us. Vines, he has a Greek word here in John chapter 5 and verse 37, 38, and 39 of R-H-E-M-A. I'm not sure how you would pronounce that. Donnie may know how to pronounce. But it simply means, the word here means a speech, a word uttered by a human voice, what someone has said. And that someone that John is referring to here is Christ. He's talking about what Christ has said when he says, "You do not have his word, that which is being spoken in you." And again, the word for scripture here used in verse 39 is G-R-A-P-H-E, which means a writing or a thing written. The scripture is used to denote the book itself or its contents. So what is the contents of the scriptures? It's that word which was spoken that is now written in them. In John chapter 10 and verse 35, he says, he called them gods to whom the word of God came. And, joining the two, the scripture cannot be broken. The word of God came to the writer of Psalms, that which the psalmist spoke. He says the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 11, that we have looked at, these were more firm-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word. How did they receive the word? Huh? They heard the preaching. That there was something spoken to them. So, in that which was spoken, which they heard with all readiness, what did they do after what was spoken? Why would they search the scriptures, Mark?
Test what was told.
So you can see the difference in the two. That they go back, if what Donnie speaks, all I've got to know whether Donnie speaks truth or not is just go to the scriptures. I hear him speak. I check the facts against what's written. And that's how truth's established. If he's not preaching truth, then you're going to tell me. Again, it's God's revealed word to us that we can have communication with him. I don't have to guess. I know what the inspired writer said. I don't have to take upon myself to believe what everything Donnie says. He don't have to believe what I say or what Larry says. I have the truth. And so we check these things. And that's what they done. It talks about they heard it. And what they heard, they made sure what was being said was truth. And so the only way they would know that that was truth was to check that which was written. John chapter 2 and verse 22. Another verse that we have looked at. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he said this to them. Again, it's something that Christ said to them. Because he said something to them, they believed what? Because what he said corresponded with what? The scripture. Okay? And hopefully you can see the difference when you talk about the difference in the two. It's something, a word is simply something other. The scripture is that which is written. That which is written is our standard of authority on that. Because that comes from inspiration. It does not come from one that's not inspired, and there's nobody here tonight inspired. But we do have that inspired word that God seems fit, that we know to make, that we can make righteous judgments. We can make the right decisions concerning our worship to him and what we need to do in this life. Anybody have any thoughts?
Excuse me. It was the Holy Ghost that gave them what to utter, right?
Right. And we'll look at that as we get on this, too. Yeah. They were guided by an infallible source. And so we need to keep that in mind. I've run across this verse. I send verses out, petition all of them every morning at work. And we did the book of Psalms. It says in Psalms 89, verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out. And that simply tells us what. What God has written, what God has given us, is never going to change. As Donnie makes mention time to time, that's the way it was during the days of the apostles. It's going to be that way till time on earth ends. It's not going to change. So the psalmist says, of God my covenant, he will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out. I alter the word I have spoken, the promise I have made. In other words, nothing else is going to come along. There's not going to be no other revelation to be there. Simply means I will not modify his conditions or withdraw it. It's kind of like what is said in John chapter 10, verse 35, that the scriptures cannot be broken. They are what they are. That's what we have today. Probably one of the most quoted verses in the New Testament, that there's many. Probably one of the most quoted is found in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. When it says there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for our doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. A lot of times we put a lot of focus on that Scripture. But we omit, if you will, when you talk about the importance of the Scripture, of verse 17. Why is all Scripture given? Why is it inspired of God and for these purposes? Verse 17 gives you why God gave us. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now when you look at this, what's going to make the man here complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work? Hey, the New Testament. That ain't what the verse says. You hear people say, well, you know, we need to forget the Old Testament. We just need to preach out the New Testament. I agree. The New Testament teaches you the plan of salvation, what I need to do to be saved, and the laws by which abide to me. But that don't make me complete according to this verse. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, I've got to know what it teaches. And I'm telling you, when you look at it, it tells you about who God is. Do you fully understand, to the best of your ability, who our God and Father in heaven is? That's the Old Testament Scriptures. And Paul is right and said, if you know who God is, that's going to make you complete and thoroughly equipped to every good work. When you look at three words here, all, complete, and every, are connected. All Scripture will make you complete for everything we do. And it involves the teaching of the Old Testament. That's the reason the Old Testament is taught. It needs to be taught. You know, whether you agree with that, to me, I get a better understanding who God is in the Old Testament. You may not. But I do. And I look, you know, of the severity of God, and the goodness of God, and what caused goodness to come upon people, what caused severity to come upon people in the Old Testament. And that's not changed today.
See, you know, we see the evidence that was forecast there that came to play. I mean, we see our origins. We see so much in the Old Testament.
Yep. And probably a lot like me, you spend a lot more time. I know Larry does a lot of reading the Old Testament, probably. Most time we spend in the New Testament. That those books are there for a purpose. And Paul in writing to Timothy gives you the purpose why they're there. It's to make us complete, equipped for everything that we do. And it increases the faith. Hosea 6 and verse 6 says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Again, when you look at this verse, is God here saying that he does not desire sacrifice or burnt offerings? No. What he's saying is, what's more needful in our lives? Knowledge. Okay? And that's what the Scriptures are about. That's where knowledge comes from. That's what makes us perfect, and if you will, complete for every good work. Romans chapter 16. Another verse that corresponds with this. Paul says in verse 25, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest. When you stop there, when Paul talks about this mystery that has been kept secret is now made manifest, what's he having reference to?
The gospel.
Huh? Not the gospel, the salvation of the Jew and Gentile into one body, right? How is this accomplished? Through the preaching of the gospel, Romans chapter 10, was it not? The preachers were sent, it was accomplished through that. It said, now it's made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandments. When you look at that, and now made manifest and, here's joining some of that, just like repent and, they're not the same. You have that which was spoken by the preacher, and you have the prophetic what? Scriptures. Not the same. But they're both used for what? Making known that which was one time concealed. And so when you look at the old, and we'll look at another example. But when it talks about that Christ talks about destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it again. Until that happened about his body, they did not understand that scripture concerning that. But after that, they understood. So when you're preaching the gospel, what are you preaching? Well, you're preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. Any references to those in the Old Testament? Well, sure, it's full of prophecies. And we've looked at several of them. So when you're preaching the gospel, you can preach it from, as Don pointed out, Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. What was Philip preaching to him?
Preaching Christ from Isaiah 53.
Right? And evidently, however the word, the scripture was worded, it provoked the eunuch to say what? Here's water. And so when you're preaching the gospel, it's going to involve the Old Testament scriptures. As we get on, one class is going to be upon the number of prophecies that is recorded in the New Testament and the number of prophets referred to. So is that mystery that was kept secret here now manifest, made known, not only through the preaching by word of mouth, but through checking off the Old Testament, those prophecies in the Old Testament. If you get a chance to go back, maybe some of you have, of why Paul worded these in verse 15, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise, all Scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Then he quotes to Timothy, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished every good work. When you go back, of the reason that Paul was writing to Timothy, when you go back to chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, "When I call remembrance to the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in you also. Therefore," Paul says, "I remind you to what? To stir up what? The gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear," Timothy, "but he's given us the power and love of a sound mind." He's almost chiding Timothy to stir him up again and not be fearful. Then he gives him this assurance of the Old Testament scriptures. "Timothy, that'll make you complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work that you have." He's writing to Timothy. And those are the words that he's writing to Timothy. They're written for us, Mark.
And at that time, especially in the early church, they didn't have the New Testament yet. This was still being written, still being recorded. All they had was the prophecy of the Old Testament and the preaching and what they'd seen in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit was guiding these men, and it was in its infancy and being written down. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, you know, that that was going to be perfect or perfected or completed later on. So they were at a time when they didn't have what we have.
Don't you have some? When you look, we was talking about in Romans chapter 16, verse 26, about the prophetic scriptures, that which was revealed, that was kept secret. When you turn to 1 Peter, getting, I think, brother's thought back there earlier, on that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, Peter makes reference to that of which Paul mentioned in Romans chapter 16. When Peter there says in verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them," that at the time the prophets, "was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." Again, this is what the prophets wrote, okay? That the Spirit, to your question, was in them, guiding them. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, Peter says, but to us, the apostles, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel. And they preached the gospel through word of mouth. They spoke it. And later that word was spoken down. It was preached to you through the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. And also if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter again points this out in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is in any private interpretation. And that's meant, worded there by Peter, that we can have confidence that what we're reading is not man's word, but it's God's word, the very God of heaven. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God, what? They spoke, okay? And they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When you look at vines, as far as concerning this word, moved, it signifies, vine says that they were born along or impaled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit moved them along as they wrote down what God wanted to be wrote. He moved with them as they went through that. He goes on to say, not acting according to their own will or simply expressing their own thought, but expressing the mind of God in words provided by Him and ministered by Him. So we can have assurance, as Paul wrote to Timothy, that all Scripture is inspired by God.
You know, even back in Amos' day, Amos 5:4, he said, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live.
Well, here's in 2 Peter 3. Peter there, he reminds him, he says, the way we remind her, in verse 2, he said, let you be mindful of the words and what words he's talking about, which were spoken before by the holy prophets, yeah, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior.
Again, I don't know, Don, if somebody may know the last book that was written. I don't know how they would fall in order, but we'll look at later on another lesson talks about the Holy Spirit was to come to reveal other things after Christ had returned to the Father that was going to be they were to teach. But when you look and Lord made reference in Peter, if you'll turn back there a second, we talk about in verse 2 the words that were spoken. When you look at verse 16, Peter has reference to his epistles. So you had epistles that were wrote at that time. And some that was not yet written. That was still being preached and not recorded. The books, I don't know if you remember by who they say Donnie was the last book written.
On the late day on Revelation, be 90 to 95 AD, so I think the rest
of them fall between 60 and 65. Paul's writings. I was looking at find it here. But then John in the book of Revelation, I find it makes mention that which I have written to you. So even John makes reference to that which was wrote during that time. But again, it was still being written at the time, at least until the apostles were living, until the last one had died. But time's about up. Any thoughts on that? Or any questions anybody has?
Was John the only apostle not murdered?
Do what?
Was John the only apostle not murdered?
I couldn't answer that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Anybody know?
things say on that's why, according to history, the scriptures don't say that.
That's really kind of curious, you know, as far as you've got time-wise that people record that such and such was written. You know, I don't try to get into a lot of that because we're not really told. And I'm not saying they're not accurate.
No,
yeah, we're just on that. Any other thoughts, anyone?
No.
Okay.